Your name, please?
Dave Brubeck.
And your occupation and position?
Musician.
Mr. Brubeck, how did a person who's been so intimately connected with modern jazz become involved in writing a religious musical piece?
My viewpoint is that any music can be religious, and it's very dangerous to put them into categories, because sometimes music that was intended to be religious sometimes sounds irreverent, and music that was not intended to be religious is very religious. I even find some of the most moving statements from the Beatles concerning religion.
This is Viewpoint, a series of unrehearsed and personal interviews with people from all walks of life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a news and public affairs program of this station. Today's guest is Dave Brubeck, musician and composer, whose latest composition is The Light in the Wilderness, an oratorio for today. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mr. Dave Brubeck, and thank you for allowing us to visit you here at your home in Wilton, Connecticut. What happens when, in your opinion, music has served the function of religion without classifying it? Does it create a process? Does it unite people? Does it deepen their understanding? What happens when music is functioning religiously?
Well, that is hard to say, but for me, I go back to the simple thing that I can understand is goose flesh and a feeling of oneness with God and with man, and a sense of beauty, of organization, a reflection of the Creator. Now, if God is the great Creator and man is to imitate God, then the man that's successfully imitating God is man that's creating. And when this creation is working and reaching and uniting people into something beautiful, then to me, it's has a religious feel. Some music that I love deeply tears me apart and says, "You're nothing. It's chaos here." Well, when a guy explains chaos, that isn't saying it isn't religious. Or when he explains war musically. In my oratorio, I told the symphony musicians, "Now in X number of bars, I want you to recreate the Vietnam War." And all hell breaks loose on that stage. These guys can hit their instruments, and they do. And the audience was actually terrified. I took great pleasure in watching them every evening when we performed this. And I let all the musicians go to Nut City, as we would call it. Just do anything you want.
Well, when you wrote the oratorio, Light in the Wilderness, how did you happen to pick the subject matter that you did pick? Is this something that's part of you? Or?
I think a lot of it, I'm concerned about the survival of humanity. And I'm really so afraid for humanity, which is myself and my kids. As my oldest boy told me, "I am people too." Absolutely, thinking that if we don't all really get in and work to make everybody have a better attitude towards the world, towards brotherhood, where we have no more idea of brotherhood, the majority of the people, I think, do have, but you begin to wonder where, sometimes the places in where I found the most antichrist feeling would be in a section of the country that's labeled as Christian. No idea of what Christianity stands for. What has the church been doing when they couldn't get across the idea of love, of brotherhood, of equality? And I know the church I'm positive that they didn't give their all. And they went along with communities where this wasn't popular. And I've had to fight for years for principles that were obvious to a child until he was corrupted by our society.
When you faced this problem of man's inhumanity to man with the possible destruction, why did you start your oratorio with the temptations of Christ?
Because the temptations of Christ 2,000 years ago are the temptations of the United States today. And no one has ever written this in an oratorio. There's no oratorio that I know of, or any of my friends know of, where the temptations have ever been discussed or done musically.
And what kind of a point did you try to make toward the very end of the oratorio? What were you leading to?
The end of the oratorio is that man, the creatures of the earth, the stars, the sun, a real ecology of the relationship to man, to everything on earth, and then God is above man, which is the wonderful thing that we have to thank the Jewish religion for, is this feeling that we're all related. There's this great brotherhood, even in the animals and the trees and nature and stars and sun and moon, and then above this is God, the great creator.
And what kind of music did you set this theme to?
Well, we won't hear enough of it on the program, but I was as simple and as direct. I started with one note, like middle C on the piano, and spread as I picked up old men and children, and I just started bringing the choir in on that chord. This is a thing you sit and you ponder, how am I going to get this? And then you hear 500 people, 600 people sing it the first night, and you know you got it just by watching the chorus. And they don't know my explanation of it. But I worked hours on the approach before I wrote that bar, and I started with middle C, right, with almost nothing, and let it spread right to the end. That, in fact, that's where we're going to start here.
Right, I'd like to have our listeners hear the ending of the oratorio.
As simple as I could be, from one note, and let it spread with a feeling of the Gothic spiral, reaching as high to heaven at the end as it could. I even wrote an alternate ending that you won't hear. It's in the score. In case somebody feels like this doesn't reach high enough, then I went straight up from there. But this conductor preferred to end where we'll hear it today. Yeah, I would say mainly my own, and then to let my kids know what I think, and then if other people are interested, it's there for them.
Well, how does music help to listen? How did you go about trying to get people to
listen? I just took Christ's words. Now,
right.
It'll go in one ear and out the other, like it's been going on for 2,000 years, but it's another crack at it. And they might come from a different angle when they hear it musically. They because you can ignore things that you've heard all your life in church. You can ignore, I pledge the allegiance to the flag. You can ignore all these things. You've said them so often. But all of a sudden, you might hear them in a new context.
How do you find the young people are reacting to the oratorio?
Tremendously. And also, old people, very old people are reacting.
Mr. Brubeck, what have been the greatest influences in your life?
Well, I would say the composite of my life is, everything has influenced me. Things that I hate have influenced me and made me want to do something about it. And music that I dislike has influenced me, because then I try never to write that way. So I would say every sound that you ever hear, every thought that you ever disagree with, you are this bank in your mind of the accumulation of your life. So everything all day long, all night long, when you think you're asleep, it's all influencing you.
Mr. Brubeck, I'd be interested in knowing how many ears are going to be hearing the oratorio. Where are you going to be giving it?
Well, the big performance that's on my mind is coming up at the Washington Cathedral, February 23rd and 24th. Possibility of it being televised from the cathedral to be shown Easter week, maybe even Easter Sunday. That's the one I'm most excited about. But I'm very excited about many other performances. We will take this to tour Europe with the Cincinnati Symphony next May. We'll play Lincoln Center, I think, May 16th. Then we go to Europe. We'll play the capitals of Europe. The entire Cincinnati Symphony and the Miami University Choir from Oxford, Ohio, will be touring Europe. This is exciting because there's 100 kids going all over Europe, and we'll have a great time. And possibly the BBC will broadcast it. I know German radio and Dutch radio will broadcast one of the concerts. Then I'm playing places like University of Minneapolis, with 350 in the choir, Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, on and on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dave Brubeck, for being with us, for allowing us to come and visit you here in your home in Wilton, Connecticut, and thank you especially for giving us your viewpoint.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview produced by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church and presented in cooperation with the National Council of Churches as a news and public affairs program of the station. Today's guest was Dave Brubeck, musician and composer, whose latest composition is The Light in the Wilderness, an oratorio for today.